evening, everyone. I thought I'm not going to preach. I was prepared to to say, okay, God, there goes my sermon. This is your night tonight. But here I am. So for those of you who need to leave sometime tonight, just slip out. I'll try and fix my sermon along the way and try and shorten it as best as I can. But if it comes to a certain point in time, you need to leave. I won't be offended. Okay, you just slip out. I'm talking about something. It feels a bit weird now talking about this subject, but you know, God, we serve a wonderful God. We serve an interesting God, and this is so great about our God. You know, He's not boring. Amen. And I'm going to talk about something that Andre touched on last week. He started with that, and we felt in our hearts to speak about stewardship in general, but also specifically in terms of our finances, and I'm going to continue with that tonight. And it's something actually very close to my heart. I teach a module, or I've taught a module in our Bible school for about 5-6 years in our Stellenbosch Bible School and in Tigerberg, called stewardship. So it's something I really enjoy and something close to my heart. So I'm going to talk about tonight about making money your servant. Okay, are you all ready for that? Making money your servant. I grew up, I'm the second child. I'm one of five. I have an older sister and three younger brothers. And my parents are both teachers. And my mom raised all of us. She was a stay-at-home mom until my youngest brother went to school. So for about 16 years, my dad's salary was the income as a teacher. And many people ask him, how on earth did you do that, raising five children on one salary? And there were like practical reasons as well. You know, we lived in a small town and the cost of living was relatively low. But my dad always says three reasons why he coped, or he didn't go bankrupt or crazy. He didn't drive an expensive car, much to our embarrassment as children, I'm telling you. He didn't go on expensive holidays. And the third one we always laugh about, he says he didn't marry an extravagant wife, which is like swipes credit cards every day. But nevertheless, I was always, even as a little girl, I remember stressed about my parents' finances. It was horrible for me. We would go on holiday and then, you know, they pack this pick and pay trolley. We go to pick and pay. They pack the trolley for a three-week holiday. And then I remember checking the prizes, you know, going up. I was just so focused on that. And then it got to 300. I remember the 300. It's a full trolley, eh? I think today it would be 2,000 or something. 300 rand. And I think, you know, I start panicking. I think, how are we going to pay for this? You know, I would panic and stress on behalf of my parents as a little girl. I remember my dad buying me tackies for netball. I played netball. We drove 100 kilometers to Oudtshoorn. That's where the car is, okay? Because nobody would know the Ladysmith where I grew up, but it's 100 kilometers from our town, to buy me proper shoes. We drove 100 kilometers. And as you would all know, you get in the shop, you try on the tackies, and it feels perfect. I mean, when you start exercising, you realize, oh, this is not working. How many of you have ever bought the wrong tackies? Okay, great. It makes me feel better. But I made a mistake. I was in high school, and I was too afraid to tell my dad about these tackies. I played after every practice and after every match, I had blisters on my feet, and I was too scared to tell my dad I bought the wrong tackies. And one evening, I just started crying, and I showed him my feet. And he said to me, but why didn't you tell me? And I said, because it's a lot of money, and I've made this mistake. It's my mistake. You know, my dad took me the next day. You know, we went actually to a shop in Ladysmith and got the perfect pair of tackies. But I grew up with something in my heart that even though I didn't have a lot of money, and even though I wouldn't say that I loved money necessarily, but somehow Mammon had a hold over me. Even as a little girl, I was stressed and worried about finances. And the Bible is so clear. It says we cannot serve two masters. I'm going to show you a scripture quickly. Matthew 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Have you ever tried to work for two bosses at the same time? How many of you have ever been in that situation? Okay. I've been in that situation. It's absolutely impossible. Okay, I'm telling, I don't know, maybe you've coped with that situation. I couldn't. It's just, you can't give 100% to two people every second of the day. It's just impossible. And this is what God is trying to tell us. We cannot serve two masters. Because we're either going to be loyal to the one and despise the other one, or hate the one and love the other. And this is why I think all of us have our stories, hey? All of us have our stories, and as a child, even as an adult, maybe you guys are working already, you were at school receiving pocket money. We all need to deal with money. We all need to deal with that. We all need to deal with our fears. We all need to deal with things we want, things we can't have, things we need. We need to deal with that. And I think in all of our hearts, there's a little bit of a mixture. I wish we can all say, no, Sonika, maybe you think, really? I don't serve Mammon. I serve God. But I tell you, I think in all of our hearts, there's a little bit of a mixture. And even in my heart, and God did a lot of things. I'm going to share one of these stories with you tonight. There's still a mixture that I need to pay attention to, because the God of money has this ability to pull our hearts away from God, and sometimes we don't realize it. Money is a poor servant. Oh, sorry. Money is a wonderful servant. Money is a poor master. I actually want to say money is a horrible master. Because you know what? Money makes us do. If money is our master, it makes us do things that we shouldn't really do. Or it leads us into a direction that is not necessarily God's will. And by that, I'm not saying that having money is wrong. Okay, we can have no money and be led into the wrong direction. We can have lots of money and be perfect in God's will. So it's not about having money. But I'm going to give you six things quickly. Signs of mammon influence in our lives. And I've struggled definitely with some of them. And I'm sure many of you would be able to recognize at least one or two or three that you struggle with. First one, worry and anxiety. That's one I've definitely, since I was a little girl. We struggle to trust in the Lord because we sit with this fear around money all the time. We lie awake, we worry, we are anxious. All right, first sign that mammon, that money is actually having a hold on you. Second one, impulsive buying. You know, the sales agent coming to you. This is your only opportunity for today. And if you don't make use of it, it's forever. Forever, forever. You're never going to get this chance again. And then, you know, Andre and I decided when we hear that kind of sales talk, we just walk away. Because that's it's very enticing. Hey, that whole thing about this, especially if you want that thing, to fall for that. But impulsive buying, and if you want to hear more stories about our impulsive buying, because we've made mistakes, come to Bible school next year. Okay, then you can hear all my horror stories about impulsive buying. I actually have lots of self-control until it comes to some other sale, and then not any sale, but some sales. How does that work, hey? How does that work? But impulsive buying, sign of mammon influence in our lives. Discontentment. Discontentment. We're always unhappy. We're always unsatisfied with what we have. We always want more. We always want bigger. We always want greater. There's just no contentment. No happiness with what we have. Number four, stinginess. If we struggle to share or we struggle to give, that's a sign of of mammon influence in our lives. Greed. Greed's an interesting one. Greed is actually wanting more of something that you already have. So for the girls, you have 10 pairs of high heels that you can wear with your nice, you know, dress that you wear to a formal thing, 10 pairs. Now you want another one because the color is just perfect for that dress. But there's 3 or 4 that could have worked. Or whatever. You like sport and you have 6 outfits already or 10 that you can wear to gym. But now you need another one. Okay, so greed is an interesting one. It's something you have enough, but you want more. Discontentment is more something you want to upgrade all the time. New car, new cell phone. Not that upgrade is wrong either. Okay, everything I say tonight, it's a condition in our hearts. So you can upgrade and be perfectly fine in your heart. Or you can upgrade, and that thing is leading you. The last one, mishandling of debt. Also a sign of mammon influence in our lives. If we make debt, and we don't pay it off, and then that thing that slick comes in, okay, a skulk your in slick, and you start panicking because it's just, you know, having you around the throat. That's also a sign. So how do we make money our servant? This is what I want to talk about. This is just background. What do we do? How do we make money our servant? Because as I say, money is a horrible master. It's a horrible master. It's tormenting. We don't realize it always, but it's not a good master, but it's a wonderful servant. And by servant, I mean we tell money where to go. You decide. Money does not decide where you go. You decide where money goes. That's making money our servant. First of all, I'm just going to mention that budgeting. For those of you who struggle with that, budgeting, get somebody to help you. But this is not the one I'm going to focus on. There's 2 others that I want to just spend a few minutes on. Building God's house. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. It's in the New Living Translation. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. You see, if we built God's house, he built our house. And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be in full-time ministry. You don't have to be a missionary. It's also, again, something in our hearts, whether we build God's house or not. And sometimes, you know, God will lead you to make a bad financial decision in order for you to build his house. And I'll explain that now. When Andre and I moved to East London, and I know we're talking about that often, so I apologize for those of you who've heard stories second, third, fourth time. But our move to East London was a bad financial decision. It was. In the natural, we lost thousands of money. Our house, we bought a house at the peak. When the market was at the peak, we sold it when the market was very, very low, at its lowest. I went on maternity leave just after we got here. I went on maternity leave, and because I moved between 2 offices, 2 PwC offices, I couldn't get maternity payment for the 4 months maternity leave. That's a long story on its own that I'm not going to go into now, but I couldn't get that. And I would have got that. I would have got my full salary for 4 months, but you have to go back then for a year to the same office where that paid you. So a house was a big issue. My maternity payment was a big thing. I took off 6 months. That was what I wanted to do. And in the natural, it was stupid what we did. In terms of finances, we were on our way. You know, Andre and I just discussed it the other day. If we were still living in Brackenfell, we could have now put so much in our house, in the bond. But everything changed for us. But you know what? even though we lost in the natural now a lot of money, even though people might have felt we making a bad financial decision by moving from Cape Town to East London because we didn't move for money. That's Andre said it last week as well. We're not in East London for money. But you know what? Andre spoke about true riches last week. That if we steward, if we know how to work with unrighteous mammon, God can give us true riches. And we found true riches in East London. Not because of East London, you can find true riches anywhere. But we found it because we came here to build God's house, not purely because it was our own idea. Because sometimes we can just do things for God and it's our own good idea and that was never God's intention. You can give your car away. You think you're such a good person because now you're giving your car away and it was never God's intention. Okay, so I just want to make that clear. We moved here because God led us to be here. And even though it was a bad financial decision, I've never been so happy in my whole life. We got true riches here in the church, and there's just so many things God blessed us with that we would have never had in Cape Town. We would have had a house and we would have had lots of money and so what. Compared to what we have now, it's just, it can't compare. So building God's house is a way of making money your servant. Sometimes when God leads you to build his house and you allow him to take care of your house. And by that, I don't only mean material things. If we build God's kingdom in his house, he takes care of so many other things in our lives. Third thing, giving. So we need to budget, we need to build God's house, and we need to give. And giving is something we need to grow in all the time because the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And how many of you have ever had a birthday in your life? How many of you have ever received a gift, a nice gift? All of you, eh? It's really nice to receive. Let's admit it. I love receiving. It's awesome. So if the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, I mean, does that make sense? Is that true? How does it work? But we all believe, hey? Let's assume the Bible is the truth, okay? Just for one moment. Let's assume the Bible is the truth. Then it says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So if receiving is amazing, then giving must be awesome. There must be something about giving that blows your mind because receiving is great. For me, it's great. Okay, I know you all, you know, don't like receiving. I do. But I've realized that it doesn't make sense until you start giving. It only makes sense when you start giving. And I want to, okay, just to check that you're all awake, because I know it's late. I want you to do a quick exercise with me, okay? Johan, I know you're in the house. Are there other doctors in the house? Yopi? Yes. Okay, great. Because you can't faint on me now, okay? I want you to breathe in. I want you to breathe in. You're not allowed to breathe out. No, don't start it. I want you to breathe in. You're not allowed to hold your breath. And you're not allowed to breathe out. You must breathe in. Okay, 1, 2, 3, start. Breathe in. Breathe in. Breathe in a little bit more. Come. Breathe in. Okay, you can't. Okay, it's fine. Are you still breathing in? Okay, it's fine. Please, I don't want people fainting. Imagine the daily dispatch tomorrow morning. People faint in church. You know what? We're not designed to only breathe in because something is going to go wrong somewhere. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but we're not going to make it, okay, if we only breathe in. In the same way, we're not designed to only receive. Okay, I want you to get this picture. If we always only going to receive, something is going to go wrong in our hearts. we're going to suffocate spiritually or something. But if we don't give, something is going to go wrong. And I want you to keep this picture in mind, because it's, you know, this is real Christianity, people. This is real Christianity when it comes to money, and because money is something close to our heart. The Bible says where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And it's real Christianity if we can give. It's real for me. That is real Christianity. So I'm just going to talk quickly about three ways that we can give. Three ways in which we can give. In the first one, Andre talked about last week, tithing. Now, you know what? For some other reason, tithing was never difficult for me, because I started as a young, I started at school already on my 30 rand pocket money or something, putting 3 rand aside for God. And that helped me a lot. It helped me a lot. Now, I want to take you to a scripture, Romans 11, verse 16, that says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches." Interesting scripture. So if the Bible says we need to bring our first fruit to the Lord. So that means if we bring our tithe to the storehouse, that's what Andre talked about last week, because the tithe belongs to the storehouse, and the storehouse is your the place where you get your spiritual food. Okay, we teach about all of this in Bible school, so if you want to know more, come to Bible school next year. If you bring your tithe to the storehouse, God will bless the 90% that is left. Okay, because if the first fruit is holy, then the lump is also holy. Okay, this is so important. I know sometimes people need to grow in this. I mean, I met people who say to me, "Sonika, if I need to start tithing now, I'm going to sell my house and I'm going to sell my car and my family is not going to have food on the table." Okay? And I really have sympathy with that situation, because if you've never done that in your whole life, then it's not part of your budget. Okay? I understand that. But I want to encourage you to grow into this and to take it to the Lord. You know, this is not, it's not a theological, theoretical thing that you now can argue. I mean, I can give you lots of scriptures, but it's something in our hearts. We need to settle with the Lord. Okay, so I would encourage you, if tithing is difficult for you, if you feel, no, the church is just after money or whatever, take it to the Lord. Say, "God, what is this tithing thing all about? Show me, teach me." And trust the Lord that if you tithe, that you honor him. And this is God, Andre's, I just want to encourage you, get Andre's sermon from last week. It was great. Second way of giving, offering. You know, as I said, tithing has never been difficult for me because I did it from a very young age. But what was difficult for me is to give over and above my tithe. Okay, so maybe some of you are in that situation. Because, you know, the devil comes with his voice saying, "Sonika, you really did your bit now. 10% of your income, you did your part. The rest is yours." Okay, now the devil comes and you hold on. "Oh, as a belief, please God, don't tell me to give more. I'm going to die. I've given my 10%. Lord, please leave me alone now. Please leave me alone." and you start panicking now about the 90%, because, and you know what? The 90%, bad news, belongs to God as well. And the sooner we come to that place, it's freedom. It's really freedom. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 that says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver." And I just want to highlight one thing. I know many people focus on the cheerful giving part, but I want to focus on give as he purposes in his heart. You know what helped me? Is I just convinced myself 10% of my income is not mine. It's God's. So I don't even think about it. I don't cry about, you know, transferring that money to the church. I don't like feel sorry for myself. Oh, poor me. There goes 10% of my income. It's not mine. I've made up my mind. Okay? We need to make up our mind about that. But now when it comes to offering, it's now again a difficult thing. So what Andre and I do, which really helps for me because I'm an accountant, I'm an auditor, I'm a left brain, budget versus actual, you know, don't take my money if I didn't budget for that purpose, you know. So what we do is we purpose in our heart to give for offering. We ask God, Lord, how much of our income should we give over and above our tithe? And that is part of our budget. So say, for example, we budget X rand to give to an offering. Then we set it aside. And if there's nobody to give it to or nothing to give it to, then it just lies there. And when the opportunity comes, it's ready. So it's still in our bank account, but it's not ours anymore. Do you follow? So it's I give it away even before I give it away. I let go in my heart. So I say, okay, God, 100 rand every month. It's offerings. It's not mine anymore. I give it to you. It's almost like my tithe. I set it aside. That's God's a purpose in my heart. I budget to give. It helped me a lot. So now all of a sudden there's this need. Okay, Andre said we need to help out with this woman moving in across the road. Now you start panicking. You think, oh no, where am I now going to get money to bless? Now you already get tense, okay, because you don't have money. But even if you say, God, 50 rand a month, 20 rand a month, and after 5 months there's 100 rand, God, that I can give freely because it's not mine. You've purposed in your heart to give. It set me free. It really did. So it's a practical thing that you can consider. It really works for us. And then the third way of giving, alms. So tithing, offering over and above your tithe. And that you give to a missionary or to your family member, the tithe comes to the storehouse. Okay? Alms is something we give to somebody in need. It's almost like an offering, but it's a different kind of a thing where it's specifically for somebody who is poor or in need. And I want to read you one last scripture, Proverbs 19, verse 17, that says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Have you ever read that in the Bible? He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he, that is God, will repay to him. Who of you have ever read that in the Bible? A few. I think it's a brilliant scripture. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. So if you give to the poor, you make a loan to God, and God says, I myself commit to pay it back to you. How awesome is that? So you get tithing. There's lots of promises where God says he will open the windows of heaven for us when we tithe. Where there's true riches, which is not necessarily only money, far more than only money. Offerings, where God says give cheerfully, purpose in your heart. Don't give grudgingly, then keep your money. And then there's alms, where God says, I commit to pay back what you give to the poor. It's so awesome to give. I'm gonna tell you one last story, and then I'm finished. Okay, so just hold on. Hold on to your chairs. Andre stole my story last week, for those of you who are here. He shared a little bit, but I'll share a bit more. I had a dream in my heart. I wore glasses since I was grade 7, and I had a dream to do the laser eye operation. The moment I heard about it, only after school, that was my dream, to do this laser eye operation so that I don't have to, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and then can't see the time on my alarm clock and struggle when we go camping with my contact lenses and all those nonsense, eh? I mean, I'm sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it was so part of my life. And I said, God, okay, I'm going to start saving towards this operation, which at that stage was 15,000 rand. It was about 5 years ago, I think. I was doing my articles at PwC, and I started by saving 50 rand per month. 50. And I said, God, this is my bit I'm going to save. And it took me 3 years to get to the 15,000. And I was preparing for the stewardship teaching in Stellenbosch on a Tuesday afternoon, and I felt in my heart, God said to me, Sonika, I want you to give this money away. I just got to the 15,000, okay? I was going to book my operation. And I thought, no, this is not God. It can't be. It's the devil or something. It's not even my own thought. I'm not going to think such a horrible thought. It's not God. And I like hidden it in my heart, you know, got all depressed because somehow I knew this is God. You know, it wasn't the audible voice. It was almost like just a thought in my own heart. And I got really depressed. I'm telling you, it was my dream. And now God, I said, God, no, you can't do this to me. You can't do this to me. And I thought, okay, I'm going to check it with my husband because he's just going to say, no, 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 this is nonsense. This is not of God. I don't have peace about it. You don't do it. Claw. Now, I still remember sharing it with Andre in the kitchen. This is what I feel God saying to me. And he said, obviously, he didn't say for 3 years, okay? So it was easy for him saying, Sonika, that sounds like God. I think you must do it. Just be obedient. God's going to bless you for it. And I thought, God, you're not doing this to me. You're not doing this to me, Lord. I'm going to die. It's my dream. Now, you must realize I saved for 3 years. It's my dream. It's not just a car. Maybe a car could be one of your dreams. I understand that. But it was my dream. Then I battled with this thing for about a week. And then it was a Tuesday. God spoke to me Sunday evening in church. I was playing on the keyboard at the end of the service. And then Pastor Fred, for those of you who know him, it's our senior pastor in Chava Stellenbosch. He said, no, he has a word for somebody. You know, and I wasn't really focusing because, I mean, I was playing. He said, no, God spoke to somebody on Tuesday about a massive financial challenge for you, and God wants you to be obedient, and it's going to be a window of opportunity and all those wonderful promises, you know, but God wants you to be obedient. And I thought, you know, I almost, I don't know what I did. I just stood there and I thought, God, you're not doing this to me. But it was so clearly God speaking, because I also want to encourage you. If you give lots of money away, make sure that get your husband or your wife or somebody and make sure that he's really God. Because sometimes we can just feel guilty or condemned when it comes to giving. Okay, I've been there. I've been there as well. So make sure God is not wanting to spoil our fun. He's not wanting to take our dreams away from us and then just leave us there or be us whoop. Okay, it's not the God we serve. But you know what? I did it, and I didn't do it joyfully. Let me be very honest with you. I did it all the press and said, God, I'm barely surviving through this. You need to help me. I want to be obedient. And I said, God, okay, show me what I must do. And God clearly showed us what we must do with the money. And for weeks afterwards, it was hard for me. I know many people say, you know, God, a mammon is not going to have a hold on my life, and I'm just going to give 100,000 rand away and praise God, and I'm joyful, and, you know, money is not going to control me, and that kind of. I must be honest, I was devastated giving that away because I gave my dream away. I said to God, where I was saved for 3 years, and where am I ever going to get 3 years again to save money for that? But God, you know, I'm not going to spend more time on the rest of this story, but I did the operation, I think, less than a year after that. Andre did the operation, and you know what? It was literally as if God pulled something out of my heart. This is what I experienced it. It's as if he pulled some other root out of my heart that made me trust in him so much after that. Where I just realized that I gave him my dream. I did. I gave him my dream and he gave it back to me in his time, in his way. But he gave me far more than my dream. It was as if he gave me peace. He gave me freedom from this, you know, I need to save, I need to save, I need to save, I need to be responsible with money and I need to all those things. God set me free in a big way by giving 15,000 rand away, by giving my dream away, by saying, Lord, I don't want to do it, but I want to be obedient. I want to trust you for my dreams. I want to trust you for my future. I don't want to hold on all my life and do my own little sums and save my own money and just, you know, and just organize my own life because I can't. And God did an awesome, awesome work in my heart. And my desire is for you to be free in this area. You know, the reason why we talk about money is not to put pressure on you, but I just realized that it set me free to give, to budget, to build God's house, and to give in many different ways. And do as God leads you. Be obedient. Be brave. Be brave in this area. Make a stupid financial decision if it's going to build God's kingdom, if it's going to benefit your relationship with God. Make a stupid financial decision. You know, and I'm very responsible with money, so I'm not saying that lightly. Ask Andre, I'm very responsible with money. We need to be good stewards, but when it comes to giving, and when you cannot outgive God, and by that, I need to say again that we need to check. We need to make sure it's God, okay? Please don't go and give your cars away tomorrow or do stupid things just for the sake of being radical, okay? Do what God tells you to do after you've really checked. I had a word in my heart. Andre was at peace about it, and I had this word from Pastor Fred. I couldn't deny that it was God. And the fruit, even though it was difficult for me, the fruit in my life was all good. Mita, I just want Mita to share quickly. You know, sometimes we, you know, I know many of you have testimonies about things that God did. And I just also want to say before Mita shares that after I did that thing, giving that money away, it was literally as if God opened for us resources. Not only my salary, not only Andre's salary, different resources. You must realize that God owns the cattle and 1,000 hills. He's not limited to your salary. He can pull resources from anywhere. And it was literally as if God opened different resources for us. Especially when we came to East London and I didn't work for 6 months. And our house stood empty in Cape Town for, 8 months? And we had to pay rent here, and we would have to pay the mortgage every month. And God just provided from different sources. And it was so amazing. So I just want to give me the opportunity to quickly share.
Okay, about a few months ago, 3 months ago, I was challenged with tithing. And I've been saved for quite some time, and I never tithed. And it was always for me just like, I worked out my budget and I worked it out to the last 5 rand, where it's going to go and what I'm going to do with it. And I depended so much on myself that I really just, at the end of the day, I never made my budget. I always spent all my money, and it was gone even before the new month salary came in. All my money was out. And like a month ago, God just said to me, tithe. And it was really... it was a hard thing for me to do. And as my salary dropped into my bank account, I just clicked on, I went internet banking, I clicked, and I just made my tithe. And about 2 days ago, my car had to go in for a service. And 2 days ago, somebody actually just came up to me and he says, but I just want to give you this amount of money. It was actually until the last cent that he gave to me, and that was just the full amount for my car. So I just want to actually honor God by, he's just a provider. And if you don't trust God, just start setting your faith out, and he will provide for you.
Amen. It was 2,200 rand and 16 and 39 cents what he needed, and somebody came up to him and gave him that exact amount. That is God. Those numbers don't pop into my mind every now and again. So that must be God. That is awesome. And so the Bible says, you know, we need to, Lord God says, test me in this. When you step out and you say, I trust in you, God, I trust in you, then God will. He is faithful. And God has been looking after us so faithfully as we have taken those steps. So I want to encourage you, go as the Lord leads you. Hallelujah. Somebody else want to say something? Okay. Okay, let's just close our eyes. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you, God, that you're a good God. But God, you're not only a good God, you are an able God. You are almighty God. And Father, you know every need in this house, Lord God. You know those who need jobs. You need those who need to get out of debt. You know every facet of our lives, Lord God, and you want us to be free. And so, Father, we pray for us this evening. If there's anybody here, you feel you either need to, you need to really trust the Lord to get out of debt, or you need to get a job, but you really need a miracle in your finances, or maybe you just need God to help you to step out to give. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you, God, that we can bring our hearts and our lives before you, Lord. And we thank you, God, for freedom, Lord God, that money will be our servant and not our master, in the name of Jesus. Lord, come and set our hearts free. Lead us, provide, get us out of debt, and position us, Lord God, in the right job, in the right place, a place where we can freely give and breathe out. God, we bless you for that, Lord. And we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.